To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. Set the prisoner free. Set it free. Resolve the conflict. Talk it out. Decide to forgive.
Today on Connect with Skip Heitzik, listen as Skip gives you biblical guidance from the life of David on how to deal with a broken family.
Hi, this is Pastor Skip, and we have prepared a package about seeing this life through the eyes of eternity. Here are the details you'll need to receive this resource.
Skip Heitzik has some straight talk about hell.
The lake of fire is name of a place of eternal torment. You might call it the final hell. The Bible calls it the second death. So hell is an actual place. There's a second fact I want you to notice, and that is hell is an intentional place.
This is critical information about the future of those who reject salvation through Jesus. But that does not need to be the destiny of any man or woman on earth. That's why we've assembled a special resource called the Eternity Package, to give you confidence in your eternal home and an urgency to share Christ with those who don't believe.
God created hell for a very specific reason. Verse 41, He will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire," here it is, "prepared for the devil and his angels." God did not create hell as a place to punish people.
The Eternity Package comes with seven of Pastor Skip's most powerful messages about eternity, covering topics like the truth about hell, what most people don't know about heaven, the second coming of Christ, and much more. You'll also receive his booklet, Hell No, Don't Go, about the glory of heaven and the torment of hell. This powerful new resource is our thanks for your gift of $50 or more to support the broadcast ministry of Connect with Skip Heitzik. So get your copy of the Eternity Package on CD or as a digital download today when you give a gift of $50 or more. Give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
All right, we're going to be in 1 Samuel 24 as we join Skip for today's lesson.
Let me say, blemished is far better than broken. And if you have a blemished husband, an imperfect blemished husband, do everything in your power, wives, to keep that husband from being a broken man. Refrain from overly criticizing him and put downs that make him feel lower and lower and lower. Or husbands, if you have a blemished wife, and she drives you crazy with those antics of hers, do everything you can to make sure she doesn't end up broken. Try to manage the conflict. Now, I'm not here to give you all the ins and outs of that, except to say there's a few ways that will help you do that. Number one, it's called forgiveness. Forgiveness. Be big on forgiveness. Be ready to forgive. Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors against us. But then he said this, if you refuse to forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you yours. Forgive. Another added thing to that, I would say, is learn to look for good traits. If they're driving you crazy and all you can see is the flaws in your mate or your relationships, learn to spot the good traits. 1 Corinthians 13, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then the third tip I would add to that is make the first move. If there's tension, make the first move. If there's a wall, make the first move. If there's coldness, make the first move. Matthew 18, our Lord said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you will win over your brother. So, blemished is better than broken. David is now in a very broken family system. The second principle, the second comparison, is that respect is better than revenge. Respect is better than revenge. So, get the scene. David is fleeing from Saul. Saul has 3,000 men. David has 600 men. He's outnumbered 5 to 1. Saul finds out he's down by the Dead Sea and in Gedi. Saul goes to chase him. Now the story gets a little bit humorous. Verse 3. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And it says, Saul went in to attend to his needs. You know what that is, right? I don't have to explain that to you. He went in to attend to his needs. He's using the restroom. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. So this is funny. Saul's there and he goes, excuse me, I got to go use the restroom. He goes in the restroom not knowing there's 600 soldiers in the restroom. Then the men of David said to him, remember, they're in the darkness of the cave. This is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Can you picture this? Saul's in the darkness, on his haunches, taking care of business, staring out of the cave. David comes sneaking up, snip, cuts a little piece of the robe off. Now, verse 5, now it happened afterwards, David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Now, his men are saying, cut his throat, never mind his robe. But he feels guilty that he took a little piece of his robe off. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. Watch this. The Lord's anointed. To stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went his way. This is David's golden opportunity to take revenge. And as he gets close to Saul, maybe all of the feelings of the past start coming to the surface, like he's remembering those two times when Saul threw a spear his way. And his blood starts to boil and he thinks, now is the time to take revenge. I don't know what feelings he was struggling with or overcoming, but he didn't take revenge. Now, revenge is pretty easy to take. We feel justified when we do it. I'll guarantee you we feel justified. In fact, we feel good. Revenge is a lot of fun. When somebody cuts you off on the road because they don't like your driving and swerves in front of you and gives you the one way to heaven sign only with a different finger, you got to understand, they feel really good when they do that. They got something off their chest. They told you. To them, it's satisfying. It's dumb, but it's satisfying. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth brings a level of satisfaction. I heard a story about a gal who worked for a family. She was the maid for a long time, took care of everything, washed their dishes, took the kids to school. Well, the family fired her, and she didn't understand why. The job was everything to her, and she was shaken by it, but the family said, don't want to talk about it, just pack your bags and get out. So she's about to leave. The front door, she opens the front door, then she takes a $5 bill out of her purse and throws it to the family dog. And the family said, why are you giving our dog $5? She goes, I never forget a friend. That's for all the times your dog helped me clean your dishes. See it? Revenge. Just a little, that dig felt so good to say that. But David does not take revenge. Instead, David is very respectful. Respect over revenge. Respect is better than revenge. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, sang it so well. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. What it meant to David is, I don't touch the one God has raised up, the Lord's anointed. You know, soldiers are taught to salute their superior officer, even if they hate their superior officer. And here's why. They will tell you, you salute the rank, not the man. You always salute the rank. Whatever you feel about that person is irrelevant. They are still at a higher rank. David is saluting the rank. This is the one the Lord has raised up. And can I just make a quick plea to all parents raising small children? Please teach your children respect. There is no excuse for being disrespectful. Please teach them that. Teach them to respect you, mom and dad, because if they don't respect you, they're not going to respect their teacher. They're not going to respect police officers. They're not going to respect authority. And you see it all over the place, not just on every filthy branch of social media, people mouthing off and spewing off to each other, but you're seeing it now in public. Begins at home. One man said, when I was a kid, there was no respect for youth. Now that I'm old, there's no respect for age. He said, I missed it coming and going. Well, the way to get it is to give it. Be the kind of person who is quick to give respect. Respect is better than revenge. Let me take you to a third principle. Light is better than darkness. Light is better than darkness. In verse 8, David also arose afterward. Now watch this. He went out of the cave. So now he's in the light, the sunlight, broad daylight, and called out to Saul. Now Saul's now done with his business. He's outside of the cave. He's ready to move on. So they're both outside. He calls to Saul saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. It might seem incidental to you, but to me it's not. David dealt with the problem between he and Saul in the daylight, in the light. David does nothing in the darkness of the cave for two reasons. Number one, he's not going to touch God's anointed. Number two, anything done in the dark cave would be less than optimal. So a lot of things David could have done. David could have killed Saul in that cave. David could have scared Saul. Boo! David could have taken him by the neck and forced a confession by putting a knife to his throat, forcing a resolution. All of that is less than optimal. None of that would have done any good. He waits till Saul leaves. Then he goes outside where you can see plainly and clearly and deals with it face to face, eye to eye. In case you might be thinking I'm making too much out of this, I was reading this week a story of a man who at one time in his life frequented bars and clubs, and he was talking about that lifestyle, and he said, you know, I always noticed that bars are dark. Clubs are dark. And he said, I always wondered why that is. Why are these places always dark? They never like turn up the lights, they turn down the lights. And he guesses it's because it makes people less aware of themselves, less self-conscious. Listen to his words. Darkness hides things. One is more inclined to approach a woman at night in a jam-packed room with loud music than in broad daylight in a quiet coffee shop. It's because self-consciousness is low or absent completely. Darkness heightens anonymity. The mask of darkness allows one to act other than themselves. Did you know that when you communicate to another person, 55% of what you communicate is through facial expression? Facial expression. So in the package of communication, what people see in your face, 55% is communicated through facial expression. A full between 70 and 90% is body language. So facial expression, what you do with your hands, if you point with your fingers, all of that is conveyed. More is conveyed by what you see than the words you hear. So tightness around the mouth and the eyes. Lowered eyebrows, frowning, scowling, glaring, sweating, crossed arms. All of that conveys anger and disapproval. Whereas relaxed muscles, gently closed mouth, slow breathing, arms uncrossed, low, steady tones of voice, all of that communicates reassurance and a desire to resolve. Now, you can't see that in the dark. You can't see that in a text. You can't see that in an email. You can't even see that on a phone call. All of those are subpar levels of communication. The best way to communicate, especially to resolve a conflict, is bring it into a well-lit room where you can actually see that person eye to eye, body language, facial expression. Light is better than darkness. I'll take you to the fourth and final one. We'll close on this. Truth is better than triumph. Truth is better than triumph. So in verse 9, David said to Saul, now they're in the broad daylight, David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of the men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen, that's very important to the last point, your eyes have seen that the Lord has delivered you today into my hand in the cave, because he has that little piece of cloth. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you and said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, the corner of your robe in my hand. That's what he is there to see. Nonverbal communication. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see, there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me. Let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Down in verse 16. So it was when David finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And David lifted up his voice and wept. And then he said to David, you are more righteous than I. True. For you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. That is what David wanted to hear. David was more interested in winning over Saul than he was in winning the argument. Truth to David was better than triumph. David didn't want to walk away and said, yeah, I got him. He wanted to win him over. He wanted to resolve the conflict. Now, I want you to see this. When I say truth is better than triumph, David still believes he needs to confront Saul, and he does. He waits till they get outside, and though he respected Saul, and though he had a sensitive conscience, he still confronts him with truth. He didn't kick back in the cave and stay in the cave and say, I'm going to wait till Saul leaves, and I'm just going to go my own way. He'll never know I was here. He goes out and has an honest confrontation, an honest confrontation. Some of you hate the sound of that word. Confrontation, even honest confrontation. But Jesus said, I remind you again, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Psalm 27 or Proverbs 27 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Ever think about that? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will wound you the right way. Well, think of it this way. An enemy stabs you in the back. A friend stabs you in the front. Carefully, lovingly, gingerly, respectfully. But he tells you the truth up front, in your face. He confronts. Nathan will confront David later on. He will say, you're the man. Honest confrontation. Later on, Paul the apostle will confront Peter for his hypocrisy before the Galatian Christians. Honest confrontation. Some of you hate confrontation. In fact, I would say most people hate confrontation. In fact, I'd say you gotta have a screw loose to actually love confrontation. There are some people who actually love it, but they have a screw loose. But most of us hate it. But conflict delayed is conflict multiplied. Conflict delayed is conflict multiplied. Confrontation will help you stop the conflict. You say, you know what? I hate conflict, but you know, let's have this out. Let's talk this out. Let's throw down right now and get this over with and resolve the issue. You know the name Corrie ten Boom. I've told you about her over the years. She was a Dutch girl raised in a home that was hiding Jews so the Nazis couldn't find them in their home. Family was arrested. The girls were thrown in a concentration camp, then another concentration camp, then another concentration camp, for years. Abused, starving. Eventually, the war ended. They were let out of the concentration camp. Corrie Ten Boom traveled around and spoke at different places. I heard her speak at my church years ago when she before she went to heaven. But she tells a story that after she was released at some place she was speaking at, a man came up to her and put his hand out to shake her hand, and she recognized him as a prison guard in the Nazi concentration camp. And she saw that hand and saw that face and went, she was repelled because he was the most cruel little tyrant, made their life miserable, and she didn't want to shake that hand. She did not want to resolve that conflict. She didn't want to deal with that. Listen to her words. I stood there with coldness, clutching at my heart. But I know that the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. I prayed, Jesus, help me. Woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me, and I experienced an incredible thing. A warm reconciliation seemed to flood my whole being. I forgive you. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard, the former prisoner. I have never known the love of God so intensely as I did in that moment. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. Set the prisoner free. Set it free. Resolve the conflict. Talk it out. Decide to forgive. Mechanically, woodenly. Go through the motions if you have to. And watch God change your heart. Whatever blemish your family has does not have to be like this, broken. And if it is broken, and if you feel broken today, and you just even loathe the system of difficulty that you have in your family, then you're in the right place. Because that's God's territory. In fact, God's specialty, you might say, are broken things. It's like he takes special delight, not in new things, but in broken things. You know, whenever we have something that's broken, we usually throw it away. It's broken, it's chipped, throw it away, get something new. We do that with people, throw them away, get something new. We do it with relationships, marriages, throw it away, get something new. God does not. God takes that which is broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart he will not despise. You let God into that heart. Because you'll find that he'll take your brokenness, your family's brokenness, he'll work on it, and then he'll use you. And so you come as you are. You don't have to be fixed to be a follower. You don't have to be a fixed, I'll get my act together, then I'll come to God. No, you come broken. You come broken. You come as you are, and you let him in. Let him superintend the process of the healing and the mending.
That's Skip Heitzig with a message from the series Dark Room. Find the full message, as well as books, booklets, and full teaching series at connectwithskip.com. Right now, here's Skip and Lenya to share some exciting news about a trip to the Holy Land.
I'm guessing that many of you have thought about, talked about, maybe even dreamed about visiting Israel. Well, let's make that happen. Lenny and I are taking a tour group to Israel next summer in 2024.
And I can't wait. We'll start in Tel Aviv, head north to Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, and the Jordan River. We'll spend several days in Jerusalem and see the Garden of Gethsemane, the Upper Room, and so much more. And we'll wrap it all up with a swim in the Dead Sea.
Now, I've been to Israel many times, like over 40. In fact, I can honestly say, though, that visiting the places where the scriptures unfolded, where Jesus lived out his earthly ministry, It never gets old.
No, it doesn't. The incredible sightseeing will be punctuated by times of worship and teachings that you'll never forget. And Jeremy Camp and Adi Camp will be with us to lead worship. Make plans to join us next summer in Israel.
See the itinerary and book this Israel tour with Skip Heitzig and Jeremy Camp today at inspirationcruises.com/CABQ. That's inspirationcruises.com/CABQ. And we're excited to send you more content from Pastor Skip and this ministry right to your mobile device. To join our new text messaging group, just text the word CONNECT to 74759. That's CONNECT to 74759. Then be on the lookout for your first message, a video from Pastor Skip welcoming you to the group. Don't miss tomorrow's timely message from Skip. It's all about dealing with darkness in society.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. Connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.